Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively...
This is the Quality News Network. 5 of 7 men accused of plotting to blow up Chicago's Sears Tower and other federal buildings appeared in a Miami courtroom today. A federal magistrate scheduled a bail hearing for next Friday. Authorities now say the men did not make contact with Al-Qaeda, but that they did plan to wage a holy war in the U.S. In Washington, the White House is criticizing the media for publishing reports about collecting data on financial transactions. The New York Times reports that since September 11th, the Treasury Department has been collecting the information as part of its war on terrorism. Also in Washington, Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta has announced he will resign next month. Mineta, the only Democrat in the president's cabinet, served as Commerce Secretary under President Clinton. In Iraq, a firefight with insurgents near Baghdad prompted the government to impose a curfew and declare a state of emergency. At least 17 people were killed across the country today, and officials discovered 5 bullet-riddled bodies. In addition, the U.S. military announced that a senior member of Al-Qaeda was captured. Former Democratic Vice President Walter Mondale says the U.S. should warn North Korea that if its missile is not dismantled, we are going to take it out. He says he supports a preemptive strike to, quote, end the long-range dreams of this dangerous country. In Washington, the Pentagon reports that the U.S. military has finished the largest war games exercise since the Vietnam War. The maneuvers took place in the Pacific Ocean near Guam. Officials say the U.S. wanted to prove it's capable of defending itself against countries, including North Korea. In the Pacific, dolphins and sea lions will soon be searching the sea for landmines. The marine mammals will join in large-scale military exercises scheduled for the month of July. The 19,000 military personnel will come from countries including the U.S., Australia, Peru, and Japan. Tokyo and Washington have agreed to expand their joint ballistic missile defense shield. That agreement, which includes jointly producing missiles and transferring technology, was reportedly in the works before it was discovered that North Korea may soon test launch a long-range missile. In California, the mayor of San Jose has been arrested on bribery charges, but Mayor Ron Gonzalez says he will not resign. His term ends on December 31st. In Ohio, at least 2 people have died after 2 days of severe storms. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Houston will be the site of the first U.S. nuclear reactor plant since 1973. Hitachi and General Electric have announced plans to build 2 nuclear reactors. Diplomatic relations with Libya are expected to be resumed next week. The U.S. cut ties with the country since the 1998 Pan Am airline bombing over Lockerbie. The move will open the door for oil negotiations. Oil and natural gas producer Anadarko Petroleum is buying 2 of its smaller rivals. The company will pay $21 billion for Kerr McGee and Western Gas Resources. The United Auto Workers Union says about 40,000 hourly employees will accept buyout and early retirement offers by GM and Delphi. That number exceeded their expectations. Orders for durable goods reportedly fell 0.3% last month in the second straight month of declines. Verizon Airphone says it will stop its commercial airline phone service by the end of the year. The company says it wants to focus on its other businesses, including broadband, cellular, and television. Netflix says it will invest $5 to $10 million in digital download technology. The online video rental company says mail-order DVD rentals may soon be outdated. Light sweet crude settled at $70.87 today. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 30 points, NASDAQ down 1, S&P 500 also down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday, and the Coward Nation marches on. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, have you ever seen anything so silly in all your born days as the Miami Terror Bust? Oh, my God! They're Negroes, and they're going to blow us up! This is so... Oh, my God, this is so 1662. This is so pre-13th Amendment. Oy. I mean, the guys are indicted and arraigned today. And it turns out that the rat is the most dangerous one among them. Hello, how are you? How are you American Negroes? I am very fine. I work for Al-Qaeda. Would you like to work for Al-Qaeda? Oh, that is very good. Would you like to blow up the Sears Tower? We would like for you to blow up the Sears Tower. You would like to blow up the Sears Tower, wouldn't you? Ah, yes, you would, my homies. This is very good.
Cue the SWAT team.
Jesus. This is, no, the coward nation marches on. This is evidence of a terrified Alberto Gonzalez, that little weasel, that sorry little pimp. Oh, I think these are very dangerous. You know, Jesus, this guy probably runs from a picture of Boris and Natasha, okay?
I am Boris Badenov, and I mean big bad things for U.S. of America.
Crank up the terror alert. Boris Badenov is after us, too. Oh.
The terrified nation. The terror nation. The nation that lives in fear.
And, of course, you know, I know how it works. Well, my friends, you know, you might say that seven dark-skinned people from Miami certainly couldn't blow up the Sears Tower, but you would never have thought that 19 crazed followers of Islam would be able to take down the...
You see how it works?
You have to be afraid. I mean, the 4th of July is on the way. They're going to attack something on the 4th of July, you know... They didn't have any money. They didn't have any plans. Didn't have much in the way of an education. No, they were a shining example of how America treats its underclass. And you got a bunch of FBI guys running around in full riot combat gear. Cue the deer. This is embarrassing. This is I would have gladly come in and filled the space where Bruce had trouble because of the lightning bolts and thunder and everything. But I was in the see Agnes and I swap out, and so I was getting dinner. That's what it boils down to. When you got family values, that means you got to feed the children. So Agnes was in here producing, and I was in, and you know there's a great little store down the road. makes its own everyday fresh Italian sausages.
Oy, delicious, with the peppers and the sauce and the nice crisp hoagie roll and the melted mozzarella.
You know, it's Friday.
That's better than you're going to get at some fast food joint. But, okay, I'm getting off base.
So I see CNN on in the living room. And Lou Dobbs,
the war on the middle class. You know, if I felt like that guy had ever missed a meal, I might take his war on the middle class BS a little more seriously.
Lou, honey, how was your day today?
Well, dear, I talked about the war on the middle class. Get me a bottle of 1792 Chateau Lestinky Feet and bring me a tub of caviar and a little bit of Hellman's, okay?
Hellman? No, but anyway, so he has... Oh, what's the guy's name?
L. Clark Kent Howard... But Clark Kent really was part of his name. That guy's parents had a sense of humor. Former national security expert. Well, Clark Kent, should we take this terror threat?
Oh, Jesus criminy, we better take it seriously. I mean, if we had an uprising of those people, it would just be terrible. Where are white women at?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anyone, but you do understand that this is the most sickening piece of racist trash that's come down the pipe since, pick one. Pick some Republican outrage. But that, you know, that's what it is. Now, you want terror? I can tell you where there's some terror being plotted. There's terror being plotted in America's mega churches.
I move we buy several copies of the new Left Behind video game for our children to play during their lock-in. Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Yes, brother, I have a second. It'll be good for them to sit there and use those simulated automatic weapons to shoot down the unbelievers on the streets of New York.
We have a motion. We have a second. Call the question. Very good. The question's been called. Who here votes in favor of using megachurch dollars to buy the terrorism training game Left Behind for the youth night lock-in?
Me.
Thank you. Oh, it's unanimous.
Do you want to know where the terror is? The terror is in America's right wing. The attacks, if they do come, the future attacks on America are going to be coming from the right wing. They'll come from people who believe that, you know, if we can just blow up another building, Jesus will arrive on his golden Eldorado. But that's okay. What, you know, you got... Who is the, you know, I want to know who the imitation Al-Qaeda guy is. Hello. My name is Mustafa, I am from Al-Qaeda, and I am looking for disaffected American youth who would like to blow up buildings. Would you like to... I don't know, what, South Miami, and it's on the phone poles in English and Spanish, and it's right there under that, finally, affordable health care for working people, you know. You've seen that thing on the phone poles. This is just too... It's too freaking silly is what it is. There's just... How much of the American people expected to believe? How much will the American people believe? And finally, how stupid are the American people? No, not quite finally, because I guess the fourth question is, how stupid do the Bushistas and Bushevics and all their little creepy people, how stupid do they think we are?
Yeah, Jesus, these guys didn't have bus fare out of Dade County. How are they going to get the dynamite to the Sears Tower?
This is one of those there, but for the grace of God goeth John Smith kind of things. Because if a bunch of guys who have formed a club where they talk about whether there's any common ground between between Islam and Christianity, and they start comparing the verses in the Quran, say, treat other people decently as you'd like to be treated, and they combine that in the Bible, and Jesus said, do unto others as you'd like to have them do unto you, and and they sit around and they talk about, you know, what's wrong with America. Yeah, I'll tell you what's wrong with America. You know what's wrong with America? America won't take care of its poor people. America don't care if its poor people's poor. And you insert some dude who says, oh, I think you're absolutely correct. And I think the way that you can show that best is by blowing up the Sears Tower. Don't you? Huh? What'd you say? Well, I think you need to blow up the Sears Tower. Yeah, okay, yeah, we need to blow up the Sears Tower. Pass me the blunt. Pass him the blunt. This is... I can't believe that somewhere down the line some jury will get a hold of this. How I would love to be on that jury. They couldn't get me to stop laughing. Will juror number 12 please stop snickering up his sleeve? Sorry, judge, it's that or snicker out loud. This is the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, I know, but it's the government. We have to kind of pretend that they're... Can we at least point at, yeah, and, you know, I'm sure that the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune and the Johnson City moral volcano and thunder blast of glory, I'm sure they're all terrified. Because it sells. Oh, Lordy, it's so good for him to be terrified. Morning, Fred. Morning, Bill. Terrified, Fred? Absolutely, Bill. You wet my pants just now. Terror. That moron, my erstwhile fraternity brother, Calvin Coolidge. What did he say? What was he famous for saying? The business of America is business. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, but you know, the business of America is terror. How many billion dollars do we spend on Homeland Security? And this is what we get out of all the money? Some poor kids? Heck, you know? It's embarrassing. Elliot Ness is rolling in his grave. J. Edgar Hoover is rolling in his tutu. The Dulles brothers are, you know, are roasting in hell and looking at each other and go, you started. No, you did. It's amazing, isn't it? I'll tell you what, it's Friday. Bring anything to the table you want to bring. If that mouse in my pocket have somehow let something slide over the course of the week, let's not leave it go any further. Because, you know, until Monday, I got to be quiet. Got a great lineup for you, as usual, this weekend. Cup of Joe with Joe Vecchio at 8 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night, followed by the zany adventures of John and Bruce on Fourth Estate Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sundays, we get a day off. That means that we sit around working on computers and making things go ping the way they're supposed to. So, as Dear Leader says, bring 'em on. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
mother. My baby and I are healthy and happy. But I was shocked to learn that every minute a woman somewhere in the world dies in pregnancy or childbirth. When women can't plan when to get pregnant, or even how many children to have, it puts them and their babies at risk. We can lower these risks for just pennies a day. I'm proud that our government supports programs that help mothers and their families around the world. If you are too, call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support U.S. assistance for voluntary family planning programs worldwide. That's 202-224-3121. For the cost of the pennies we see lying on our sidewalks, we can make a real difference. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
In Kosovo, the U.S. government has provided over 292 million ounces of $70 million U.S. government assistance package for Central America in response to Hurricane Mitch.
Sometimes it seems like we spend an awful lot of our tax money helping people in other countries. But in reality, it's less than 1% of our government's annual budget. Our aid programs save lives by helping couples plan their families, immunizing children against deadly diseases, and ensuring that people have safe drinking water. It's important that these programs continue. Helping create a healthy and secure future for people in developing countries helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered. I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On for a Friday evening.
You know, I go back and forth. Is it unfair for me to... No, it's not. Somebody in this country has got to point out the silliness and stupidity when it happens. And I guess I've just sort of self-appointed that job to me. You know, sort of like Napoleon crowning himself. No, I'm a lot taller than Napoleon. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good friend Chris in Alabama for the first time in a long time. Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Well, let's not talk about that.
Okay, let's don't and say we didn't.
I feel terrible. Did you see what this idiot Walter Mondale said?
No.
Oh, well, get the bucket of lie. Former Vice President Walter Mondale says he supports, oh God, a preemptive U.S. strike against North Korea.
Where's,
now,
you know, yeah, bucket of lie, pluck the eyeballs out, walk screaming off a cliff. Oh God.
That's that's just the tip of the iceberg these days. In the movie We Were Soldiers, one of the deleted scenes on the DVD, they have Mel Gibson being debriefed by McNamara and Westmoreland. And they say, well, you know, we're going to drive the little back into their holes or back home.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gibson replies, sir, we're not going to run them back home. They already are home. Well, that's where we are in Iraq. So naturally, let's add Iran. Mondale says, let's add Korea. I say, let's bomb the Bahamas.
You know,
they're taking too much of our tax dollars for vacationers. Let's just go get them.
You know, Kurt Vonnegut, and I know you're a Kurt Vonnegut fan, Chris.
Absolutely.
Kurt Vonnegut says that the human race is a virus and the Earth is doing everything that it possibly can to reject us.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah. What's that song we play from time to time? I'll bomb the world and melt with you.
Let's drop the big one and pulverize them. If anybody didn't get to see the Frontline the other night on Dick Cheney, it's showing online at pbs.org. You can follow the links to Frontline and watch it.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. It is amazing. It is really something. It opens up with Cheney saying, we're going to have to operate this on the dark side. And it just goes down.
Was there the James Earl Jones voice generator in the dark clothing and the big man? Yeah, I mean.
To me, he's a demented Bob Hope, the way he talks out of the side of his mouth. That's the first thing I think of.
That's the first time I've heard that, Chris. That's a brilliant observation.
Oh, we kill all these colored people over here.
I tell you, this is Dick for Texaco Cheney.
Lorenzo Lama's Fun Time Hour with Dick Cheney.
It's good times at Guantanamo with your host, Dick Cheney.
Oh, God, that was so funny. John Stewart talking about, you know, Bill O'Reilly went over there, and a couple hours after he left, three people committed suicide. And John Stewart said, why did they wait so long? I noticed on Raw Story or one of the websites.
Well, God knows what he said he wanted to do to him with his falafel. I mean.
I got the hot plate right here, babies. Hillary supporters are criticizing Gore's film. I guess because it doesn't, you know, call her what she is, a Republican. I don't know.
Oh, Hillary supporters have all, yeah, it's.
You know, I on this show, I predicted that the next attack would be in Chicago.
Yeah.
Here are these idiots for wanting to attack in Chicago. I looked at that last night and looked at my wife and I went, oh boy.
Well, you know, but I don't think these dudes could have found Chicago, okay?
I don't think so either. We're gonna bomb Chicago. What are we doing in Iowa? It's nearby, trust me. We got fragmentation grenades, really? Yeah, they look like little water things you put in, you put a bunch of, you know, nails, stick on nails, and you throw it. Stick on nails.
Yeah.
That one didn't do too good.
That's okay. Lee press on nails as terrorist weapon.
Yeah, why not? You know, all the ancient Chinese art of in Walmarts everywhere, pinning on the nails, and they collect them when they throw.
Well, yeah, you know, you remind me of something, Chris. You know, I still haven't kicked my nicotine habit.
I have here the last 2 weeks.
And I was desperate and looking for a bargain. I thought I was doing one of those buy one, get one frees on my Camel lights. Well, instead, they were packaged together, and they came with a West Coast Chopper bottle opener.
That encourages something else.
It's made out of bike chain and an iron cross. This is Camel is giving away brass knucks now with a two-pack purchase.
Well, you really don't need a bottle opener. You just, you know, walk by Ann Coulter and one of the fangs.
Come here, sweetheart.
Actually, you can do it the upside down, you know, the way they used to be on the side of the thing. You just go up to Ann Coulter, that big chunky Adam's apple of hers, and just rips the top of that yoo-hoo right off.
I likes me some yoo-hoo.
Yeah, gotta have that yoo-hoo.
Hey, Chris, I hope you get to feeling better, brother.
Buddy, I do too. I just don't see any foreseeable future here.
Oh, God.
But take care of you both.
Oh, well, it's so good to hear from you.
All right.
Keep them straight down there in the shoals, will you?
Well, okay. We had a police captain arrested for kiddie porn the other day.
No.
I'm serious. A police captain, the local police department.
Oh, can you dredge that story up and ship it along when you get to feeling better?
I will. Take care of you.
Later on, Chris. Talk to you soon. Our good friend Chris from the last little toe hills of the Appalachians in northwest Alabama. A little slice of heaven they call the shoals. It's half past the hour. We'll come back, do more phone calls after the break. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Turn it inside out so I can see the part of you that's creeping over me. 'Cause when I look, you're never there. But when I sleep, you're everywhere. You're everywhere.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Remember, I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and after the revolution.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Four before the hour. It's Friday, and what I said earlier, I'm not kidding. I got a set of brass knuckles for buying two packs of Camel cigarettes.
Which now Agnes has control of the brass knuckles.
And it's an imitation iron cross, and it says West Coast Choppers at the top. You know, it's a Maltese cross, and it's got a bottle opener on the back. You know, the little post and the claw, and the rest of it's motorcycle chain. That's the one you use if you're too lazy to twist off your own. And, just because things occur to me, the Bush administration is just neck deep in love with the tobacco industry. Why not? Yeah. Find me the marketing genius. Sir, I have an idea. Let's distribute brass knuckles with a two-pack purchase of Camels, and we'll call it a bottle opener. That's a great idea, Bill. You get a promotion this year and a bonus. And then, you're tooling down the road and going a little faster than you ought to be and get pulled over. And the next thing, the cops says, what's that in the... call for backup. We have a weapon in the vehicle. I mean, this is the way my life is. This is the way my luck runs. And this is just genius. I mean, you remember the hissy we had over Joe Camel? Well, never mind Joe Camel. He was a cartoon character. These are very real. And I mean, it's sharp. It's pointy. I mean, is there any doubt as to the sleaze of the American tobacco industry now? We're giving away brass knucks. Well, okay, steel knucks. I guess that's harder than brass, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, like I say, you're lucky. You'd get a Jackie Gleason type who'd pull you over and say, well, boy, what we doing here?
What we have here is failure to communicate.
With the mirror sunglasses and the Smokey Bear hat.
Yeah.
No, two or three things. Like I say, do you remember, I don't know when this was, I'll be honest, I'm going to think it's like 8 or 9 months ago. We talked about this Miami thing. Do you remember I want to think it was North Carolina, or it may be up in the Northeast somewhere, where some group, an anti-war group, found out they had been infiltrated because the cop who had infiltrated them got killed in a traffic accident.
Yeah.
And they found out about this, and they were talking about it and said, he was the one that was always egging us to do more.
Well, and even more recently than that, Luke, the story that broke about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about the agent provocateur, this woman who goes around to various like anti-globalization groups and anarchists and whatever, and she's always the one standing in the middle of the thing going, no, we need to bomb something.
It's like we all say, the Bush crime family, that's where it's coming from.
The most dangerous people in America today work for the federal government.
Oh, well, it's like people always say, well, we don't engage in terror. And I said, okay, let's talk about a fellow named Hugo Chavez and a coup.
Yeah.
So this is a coup we were running. And according to the new rules, that's an act of terror against a duly elected official of a country. If you don't like him, fine. He was still elected.
Yeah, Well, he wasn't proper. He wasn't democratically elected. I mean, you remember when Kinda Sleazy said that, right?
Oh, God. Well, we know Kinda Sleazy. We know what her record on the truth is. Let's talk about Milan in 2001. Why did we keep George out on the aircraft carrier, Gandhi?
Well, you know, aircraft carriers are very romantic things.
Let's not go there, please. It's Friday. Let's not destroy the digestion for the weekend.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, the whole thing, him, her, standing on the fantail, listening to Bobby Darin sing Beyond the Sea.
But did you read the I told Agnes last night, I know you got busy, but it was funny last night watching Mr. O'Reilly had Clarence Page on. Because he wanted to complain about this thing that Wycliffe wrote in the Chicago Tribune. This article that Don Wycliffe wrote.
Right.
And he was on there, and Clarence Page got in his face. I was surprised. I went, damn, Clarence, you have a spine in there. And he got up in his face. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was like, you know. And Bill was up there claiming, I don't cheerlead for the president. It's like, oh, God, Bill.
Well, that's true. Cheerleading isn't what I'd call it. It has a lot more to do with what Monica did for Bill, but, you know.
Well, you remember our favorite one with Bill? With Bill had to be the thing, I don't do personal attacks. It's like, Bill, you're a mime otherwise. You know, that's the best one I've heard, but this one's coming close. You know, it's just, Bob, I don't know if you've ever get any invite, but if you ever are invited to any show like that, always make sure you're in the studio so they can't cut the mic off on you.
Well, exactly.
I tell you what, it's one of these ones now where when you watch these things, you see the person in the studio, and then
Well, but see, our good friend Bruce Birch puts up a webcam every so often. I won't do that. I have a face made for radio. I mean, there's a reason I'm doing what I do.
I understand. Every once in a while, I switch over before you all come on. And I used to, when I was at work, because I get a better hookup there, and I watch about the first half hour sometimes of the Young Turks. And sometimes you were like, turn the camera off, please.
It's radio for a reason. I mean,
I know.
You know, Rush Limbaugh does a ditto cam, and everybody's like, hey, that's a good idea. No, we didn't want to see Rush either.
Oh, no.
Bruce's is good. I like it.
Yeah, Bruce does a great job with it, but not me. Not for me.
Well, you know, it's like you say, Rush has a face made to stop clocks, but other than that, you know. But you were right, though. It's like, say, when I saw all this stuff last night, CNN was on with their breaking news, and they were just showing these tapes, and it's like, okay, it's 9 o'clock here, so why is it still sunlight down there? And I'm sitting there going, these are tapes from earlier. They're just replaying them again.
Oh, I know, and you know, why not? Did they run the font at the bottom? You know, scary black people in Miami.
Yeah, black. Well, no. See, it was MSNBC. You had the one black Muslims or something like that.
Yeah,
arrested. And I'm sitting there going.
And of course, that's supposed to make it. Oh, they finally took down Louis Farrakhan.
Well, I'm sitting there looking at this group, and I'm sitting there going, dang, I've seen rap groups that look worse than this group. You know what I mean? It's just this is just a bunch of kids, essentially. You know that. So like I say, they've sent somebody in there to, oh yeah, let's get them all razzed up and all this. Then we'll arrest them and make it say, hey, we had a thing. You know, like you said, these kids are in Miami and they're sitting there talking about Chicago. I'm sitting there going, how? I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, they were talking about one thing today. They were talking about some of this thing and talking about the fact that, of course, they wouldn't mention the who's doing it. But, you know, of course, you can still buy ammonium nitrate, you know, in almost any quantity, and it's like, gee, wonder who stopped that blocking that law for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I wonder.
I still remember when they tried to just put in the, what was it, in black powder, they just wanted to put the little tag.
Yeah, the marker.
Yeah, so you could find out at least, you couldn't even tell what the individual, but you at least tell what batch it came out of, and Republicans are like, oh, no, can't let that happen.
Oh, that's a violation of our Second Amendment right to keep an armed bears.
What's the one Robert Williams used to do? He said you see these hunters with, you know, automatic weapons, armor piercing bullets. Said, well, I see the first deer out there wearing a flak jacket. That's fine, but till then, at least make it a fair fight.
Oh, I know. You know, I think I've used ammonium nitrate to melt snow. It's better than salt in the really cold weather.
Oh, but you know what I mean? It's one of these things. Like sometimes you're sitting here watching. I tell you the one that's got to me this week. Though on the media more than anything else, Mr. Matthews is off this week, so they had Miss O'Donnell sitting in.
She'll be
wearing her I Love the RNC t-shirt.
Yeah, you know, the knee pads are off camera.
Oh, I mean, you ain't got to listen to her for 5 minutes and you can tell this. I mean, it ain't even close. You know what I mean? At least some of them make it look good. You know what I mean? They at least pretend to be until you get them right down into the fight. Her, for 5 minutes into the story you, or the show, you know where she's lined up behind. So, oh, God, I tell you what, that and now we've got over here on CNN, you've got Roberts and King, as I say, the new RNC duo.
Well, John Roberts does. Yeah, he's like Nora O'Donnell. Doesn't even try.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like, say, you know, at least pretend try to be your objective every once in a long while, please. I mean, you know, quit sitting here.
But they don't have to, Luke. They don't have to, and they don't mean to.
But I tell you what, some of this stuff nowadays, it's like, say, you just wonder on some of it. It's like,
well, that's like Lou Dobbs. I mean, does anybody really believe that he gives a tinker's damn about the middle class?
No, he just happened to be hit the right thing at the right time on the immigration. And Dubai and all that happened just at the right time, and he fell into it.
Yeah.
He's rode it, and, you know, more power to him. I mean, that's what he's supposed to do, but he's rode that horse with spurs and a crop.
Well, you know, I remember when he left CNN the first time through because he was going to space.com. Do you remember that? Yeah, I'm going to fly to the moon. Yeah, you go on, Luke.
So I hope you bought a return ticket while you're at it. Otherwise, I hope you hold your breath a long, long time. But it's like, say, on some of these things with some of these people, you're just, you know, it's like, say, you just please take off the coat so we can see the RNC armbands on. You know, we really just want to just be open about it and go on.
Yeah, if you showed the below the desk, they'd just sort of be goose-stepping by habit. Oh, I know.
But, It's just fun sometimes to watch it. I'm telling you, I'm going to get off and let you get some more people on.
All right, Luke, you have yourself a great weekend, all right?
You too.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye. And our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome back. How you doing?
Hey. Thank you, Luke. Thank you. Thank you, Luke. Yeah? He does a good job, eh?
Yeah, he does.
And he's on the subject. But, I just wanted to call and say hi.
Well, that's good.
And, hey, this thing, it's kind of like kidney stones or whatever. You know? They too shall pass. I hope this shall pass. But if it does not, somebody said, I'll see you in the gulag.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. And, hey, I only have one answer for that. I won't see you in the gulag. I'll meet him at the door with a pitchfork, like that gentleman said. If we knew what they were going to do, we would have met him at the door with a pitchfork. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? So maybe people should, all of us should just stop and think, hey, when they come to my door to take me to the gulag, hey, I'm not going to gulag. I'll die right here at my doorstep. But guess what? You're going to go with me.
Yeah, but honest to goodness, Bob, out of all this business in Miami, part of the thing is it's to make everybody suspicious of everybody else because you never know when somebody's actually, you know, not what they appear to be. That's the purpose.
Good God.
So, you know,
No, this thing out of Miami is more propaganda than anybody that buys into this game because how are these boys going to transport enough of that, what do they call it?
Ammonium nitrate?
Not ammonium nitrate, no. They would have to take more of that there than they could do on a Chicago train coming from the Midwest. they would have... You're talking sophisticated explosives. And if you want to know about that, well, then maybe you should investigate how you can take steel down. Okay? How you can take a skyscraper down What does it take to take a skyscraper down? And most of these people, they just think, oh, fly a couple of, you know, Cessnas into the building, it'll fall down for you. BS. And I'm not talking your bovine catastrophe.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm talking your real bovine skedaddle, because that's what these people eat, they drink, they sleep, the same bovine skedaddle for breakfast on CNN, MSNBC, what's the other one? It's ABC, CBS, all of them.
Yeah.
They just keep, you know, like a manure spreader. When I was a kid, one of the things I had to do was clean out the, I had to clean out this, this barn, and there was this trough full of bovine skedaddle, but we didn't call it that, we just called it manure. And you had to fill a manure spreader, and it took hours to clean up after the cows were milked, and we, we worked a long time, and we used to argue about who gets to take it out and spread it, okay?
Right.
Who gets to take that thing out to the field and, you know, just kind of turn the manure spreader on and spread it? And, you know, I won a couple of times, and I won one time when I shouldn't have, and I dropped the front wheels into a gopher hole. And there I sat with my tractor and my manure spreader full of, what you call, your bush. A Vic, whatever, bovine skedaddle. And there I sat. And then I sat there, and I tried to figure out how to get this thing out of there. And finally, I was rescued. Out came, and emptied the bovine skedaddle into one big pile. Kind of like the pile we got in Washington, D.C. right now.
Yeah.
And there it sat. And then
But, Bob, this is some of the oldest, most nasty stuff that that this country is capable of.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason. I mean, because we know. The part that they're not hiding is that they sent an operative into a group to entice them to agree to do something. Well, you know, they didn't, they didn't send it into the lily white mega church where there's just as much danger as anywhere else on earth. The whole thing, it's racism. It's pure, ugly, nasty, filthy, dirty, rotten racism.
Every American citizen, I mean, the people that vote and those that don't vote, know that they are responsible for sending our children into Iraq to clean out the trough of this pretend, and I mean pretend, terrorist threat, okay? And they're supposed to shovel this stuff into where? Into a manure spreader that they're going to bring back and spread on us over the next 5 or 6 months to tell us to vote for Republicans? Come on, give me a break. It's kind of like listening to our friend on another network. I'm not going to say where.
No, you can say where. You're talking about Malloy.
No.
Oh.
Malloy, I think, he doesn't spread the nerve. But people come on there, and they try to spread it to him, and he just tells
them. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to something Malloy might have said. No.
No, I'm talking about somebody comes on this network occasionally, and sometimes he comes on all the doggone time.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. But I'm not going to say a name because that's not...
Right, we don't play that way.
Yeah, we don't play name-calling games. But some people think they've been in combat because what? They saw a John Wayne movie.
Well, that would account for Dick Cheney, George Bush...
And a whole bunch of others, right?
Yeah, right. And some people think that they understand terrorism because they've been scared by a black person.
And there are people that say that.
But this country, Bob, has played that card since the days of indentured servitude. There was a time in this country. It's documented very well by folks like Howard Zinn.
Yes.
And there was a time in this country when there were white slaves and black slaves, and there was a real risk of them rising up and saying, ain't gonna. And as quick as that was figured out, the first thing that happened was the ruling types tried to make sure that the white slaves, the so-called indentured servants, were taught to hate and fear the brown slaves.
Yeah.
And this is nothing more nor less than more of that garbage.
Absolutely. See, most people, there are people that want to go back and, you know, research 9/11. Say, okay, we got the evidence. We got this. We got that. Okay, 9/11 is history, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know. We don't know, okay?
Right.
It's kind of like that rummy Dumbfield, okay?
Yeah.
You know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. And there's a whole lot about that we don't know. But why keep bringing it up, okay?
Yep.
Let's ask this question. This simple question, okay? What will we... as a nation gain from staying in Iraq for a year or 6 months or
a generation,
you know, or another day or for 10 generations or 100 years, what will we gain? And the simple answer to that question is nothing. Absolutely nothing. So if you're going to stay there for nothing and you went there for nothing, what are you going to get out of it? It's kind of like that, you know, if you take, what's zero times zero? You know, it's like if you got a...
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing for you in Iraq. There's nothing for me, Bob. We had two more soldiers die today, so two more mothers learned how to scream.
There's nothing for liberals. There's nothing for conservatives. There's nothing for neocons. There's nothing for any human being on this planet for us to stay there. Like Martha says, withdraw. Get out now. Get out. You know, because, hey, if you step... You know, hey, if somebody comes to your door, okay, and doesn't like you, and he's got a bag full of bovine skedaddle, okay,
mm-hmm.
he sets it on your doorstep.
And sets it on fire.
Sets it on fire and rings the doorbell and runs away. What are you going to do? Jump on the bovine.
Yeah, and just make it ever so much worse.
That's right. So what do you do if somebody doesn't like you, and they put a bag full of that stuff at your door, and light it on fire, you just go in, pick up a, you know, one of them seltzers off your fancy bar there, and you just spray the seltzer on the burning bag of crap and call the sheriff and say, somebody put a bag of burning crap on my door. But I have no idea how to get out of Iraq, except to get the hell out of Iraq, because we got no business being there. Just like we had no business being in Vietnam, and we finally pulled out. But after 58,000 of our, or 59,000 some odd, and there's some that we haven't even counted.
And dying every day.
Yes, of course, there are those of us that are still dying from that conflict. But the thing is this, Bob, get the hell out of there. Give those people their country. Let them sort it out. That's the only answer.
And they will sort it out.
It is their, no, it's their country, and it's their oil. It's not ours. We have no business being there. And anybody that says anything else is a liar or a neocon or somebody that's just trying, you know, it's like that guy playing the two-card money thing. You know there ain't no queen in there or king in there.
Nope.
There's a couple of jokers. Well, we got three jokers in the deck. It's Cheney.
We got a roll, Bob.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one. Take care.
Weekend to you. Weekend.
That's right. Thanks.
Suffer less and enjoy more.
All right. We'll try. Later now.
See you later. Bye-bye.
News is next. Your phone calls after 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Five of the seven men accused of a terrorist plot that targeted the Sears Tower and other federal buildings made a court appearance today. Their bail hearing was set for next week. Authorities now say the men did not make contact with Al-Qaeda. The New York Times reports that since September 11th, the Treasury Department has been collecting information on financial transactions as part of its war on terrorism. Agency head John Snow defended the program as a way to track the flow of terrorist money and added that it is, quote, consistent with our democratic values. In Baghdad, the government has imposed a curfew and declared a state of emergency after a fierce firefight with insurgents. Today, the U.S. military announced five more American soldiers have died, bringing the total number of deaths this week to 12. Al Jazeera Television aired a video today featuring Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. In it, he praised slain leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as a martyr and lashed out at Americans, saying the U.S. will have peace only when all Muslim countries have peace. In Washington, the top U.S. military leader in Iraq accused Iran of helping Shiite groups in Iraq. He said Iran has been providing weapons and training to enable Shiites to continue their attacks on U.S. troops. In Baghdad, the Iraqi government is expected to announce a reconciliation package on Sunday. The UK Times Online says that in an effort to avert a civil war, prisoners will be offered amnesty and resistance groups will be included in the political process. In Washington, the Navy has launched an investigation to find out how personal information found its way onto a civilian website. The Navy says social security numbers and other information on nearly 30,000 sailors and members of their families was discovered today. The information has been removed, and those affected are being contacted. In Ohio, at least two people have died after 2 days of severe storms. A firefighter trying to rescue two stranded teenagers from floodwaters died, as did a teenage camper who was killed when a tree fell on his tent. Outside of Sedona, Arizona, fire crews are now battling a nearly 4,000-acre blaze. They say the fire is 15% contained. In Atlanta, federal officials are issuing health warnings about unlicensed tattoo artists. That comes after 44 people in Ohio, Kentucky, and Vermont developed skin infections. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Houston will be the site of the first U.S. nuclear reactor plant since 1973. Hitachi and General Electric have announced plans to build two nuclear reactors at a cost of $5.2 billion. Diplomatic relations with Libya are expected to be resumed next week. The U.S. cut ties with the country since the 1988 Pan Am bombing. The move will open the door for oil negotiations. The United Auto Workers Union says about 40,000 hourly workers will accept buyout and early retirement offers by GM and Delphi. That number exceeded their expectations. The Commerce Department reports that orders for durable goods fell 0.3% last month, despite an expected increase. It's the second straight month of declines in big-ticket factory orders.
The personal information of current and former employees at supermarket chains Stop and Shop, Giant, and Tops has been stolen. The parent company said an employee's laptop computer was stolen. It was the second such incident this month alone. Comcast and Time Warner Cable have signed revised agreements to buy the assets of cable operator Adelphia. The revisions, which may allow the companies to get past creditor disputes, are still subject to court approval. Netflix says it will invest $5 to $10 million in digital download technology. Lightspeed crude settled at $70.87 today. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 30 points, NASDAQ down 1, S&P 500 also down 1. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Seven minutes past, and let's start this hour. Let's back away from the government shenanigans for just a minute. First of all, an email from our good friend David in Central Tennessee, or Middle Tennessee, as they like to say it down there, talking about Lou Dobbs. Yeah, he cares about the middle class as a donor of blood and money. Unlimited donations. I can't take Lou Dobbs seriously. I simply am unable to do so. I mean, there's too much privilege there. I mean, this guy gets delivered to work every day in a limo. I got nothing against limos, and you know, maybe he's just incompetent to drive in New York City. A lot of us would be. But when you know the last time he had beans and cornbread, you know, and that's his loss. Because you know, you give me a big old bowl of Mayakoba's and some cornbread, maybe a little bit of Kaneka hickory smoked sausage inside, and the you know, poor people food. And brother, that's a meal fit for a king. Lou Dobbs will never know that. You know, no, this isn't about, you know, rising up in the proletariat, and the rich can be rich because their lives, there's every possibility their lives are as empty or more empty than some dramatically poor people I know. But backing up just a hair, our research associate in Oregon, Gene, shot me this one from Springfield, Missouri. Now, and you kind of have to take this. Yes, it's separated by 1,000 miles. Okay, sure. But it is in the same vein, because it is the same thing. Just going to read it to you straight off the News Live Late Breaking Investigative Channel 5 News KCTV site. A 10-year-old girl... Okay, so this is the part where I get to visualize, because That would be Doodle, our sweet little blonde-haired, blue-eyed Dakota Fanning look-alike. Our little Doodle, 10 years old. 10-year-old little girl was with her mama in the Battlefield Mall in Springfield, Missouri. Child's name is Lydia Smith. Lydia had a bandana on her hair. In some cultures, that would qualify as a hijab. She had a bandana on her hair. I mean, you see it all the... It's very popular, and it's cute, okay?
Yes.
Her bandana, Lydia's, had peace signs and smiley faces and flowers on it. Little 10-year-old Lydia got rousted by the mall rent-a-cop. A security guard approached Lydia at the food court and said the bandana violated the mall's code of conduct, which is, quote, wearing apparel which is likely to provide a disturbance or embroil other groups or the general public in open conflict.
Okay, Bob.
Yes, dear.
It has smiley faces on it. That means Walmart's got to go down.
Well, I'm guessing it came from Walmart if it's got... I mean, they own the smiley face, don't you? They've got litigation about the smiley face out there right now.
What could provoke anyone to attack a 10-year-old? I'm sorry, but the mall safety donut police, because the only thing they really guard is the donuts.
Dear, you know what this is about.
Yes, I do.
This is about the
peace. She's peaceful.
This is about the peace sign.
Now, was that...
War and slaughter in America are acceptable. War and slaughter in America are patriotic. But if you're running around with a peace sign, well, you're likely to cause open disturbance.
Okay, so what if she has the Union Jack on her head? Is Barney Fife there going to stop her?
Well, I don't know. We can't engage in that kind of speculation, because what we got here is a bandana with smiley faces, flowers, and peace signs.
Yes, but I'm talking about discrimination.
Now, see, that's hippie code. That's peacenik code. That makes her dangerous.
I don't think of people as hippies. I think of them as naturalists.
Well, I understand, but you got to get inside the mindset of the rent-a-cop.
He's got to leave that mall some point.
He's a rent-a-cop because he wants his own badge, his own gun, and his own fast car, and he could never qualify. So he's, he's getting off on the authority.
You've been to the mall in our undisclosed location nearby.
Yes.
You can get mugged in this mall at the drop of a hat. And for some strange reason, you can never find security because they're hiding behind the cars.
Looking for 10-year-olds with bandanas, yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
But then, no, I mean, that's where America is. This is, a group of young African-American males are dangerous if you send in some guy to suggest that they go and blow up the Sears Tower, and that makes them dangerous. And a little girl 10 years old wearing a peace sign is dangerous. Because she might break out into open acts of peace? Gonna sit down at the Orange Julius and sing a rousing chorus of Kumbaya? No comment here from the mama. I'll try to, I don't know, we'll have to try to keep an eye on this story. Because the writer, the author, the reporter, if you go shopping at the Battlefield Mall in Springfield, be careful what you wear. No, because see, in the Springfield Mall in Springfield, Missouri, if you walk through naked with nothing but a big old W painted on your chest, you're okay. You're all right. No, that's not Springfield, Missouri, dear. That's the Yeah, Springfield. Zebediah Springfield, home of the Simpsons. Dope. Yeah, they just arrested Lisa Simpson.
Exactly.
For all intents and purposes.
And Homer's working the nuclear plant.
And but do you see? Of course you see. There is an attempt in this country to put down resistance to armed conflict. Whether it's did they throw little Lydia out of the mall? I don't know. Welcome to America, where bandanas are trouble if they've got peace signs on them. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Minutes after the hour, and I'm looking at a story here because all the maybe it's just in my twisted mind that all these things connect. The coward nation marches on. The coward nation that is afraid of a gang of not even a gang, a group. I mean, yeah, look, I see how guilty I am too. A group of unemployed African-American males in South Florida. Be afraid. Be very afraid. A 10-year-old girl with a bandana on her head in Springfield, Missouri. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Pray louder. Your God can't hear you. And then the story that our good friend Chris mentioned in the last hour, I just now got to read it. You heard me talking while I was on my hiatus about the Tricycle Daily. This is from the Tricycle Daily. A U.S. federal magistrate Wednesday set bail at $10,000 during a detention hearing for Florence Police Captain Ken Stanley. Dressed in a green... And if you go through this, you see where the sympathy lays in this news story, and it's sickening, I'm telling you, it's sickening. Dressed in a green and white striped Cullman County inmate suit and wearing leg shackles and handcuffs, Stanley appeared in federal court after being arrested Monday on federal child pornography charges. Stanley, who has been in the Cullman County Jail since his arrest, kept his head bowed during the majority of the hearing. After more than an hour of testimony, U.S. Magistrate Harwell G. Davis... You know, you got to work with a name like Harwell G. Davis. Concluded there was enough evidence to present the case to a grand jury. Stanley's bond includes a stipulation that, should he make bond, he is to be under 24-hour home detention under the supervision of a U.S. probation officer. He can only leave his home to meet with his attorney or to attend court-ordered mental health counseling. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the rest of the story. And so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All firearms, this is an Alabama newspaper, okay, this is the tragic part of the story. All firearms were ordered removed from Stanley's home, and he cannot be around children 18 years old or younger. That's 6 paragraphs. After the hearing, Stanley was transported back to Cullman County by U.S. Marshals, where he was to post bail. Stanley could be seen lying down in the back seat of the patrol car to avoid media cameras as he left the courthouse. That's 7 paragraphs.
He was avoiding the shots that would be...
Stanley's attorney, Robert Tootin of Huntsville, said family members were prepared to make the necessary arrangements for his release. As of 9 p.m., he was still in custody. Okay, let's do the counting again because I suck at math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Stanley was taken into custody at the Florence police station by FBI agents. He has been placed on administrative leave without pay, according to Florence Police Chief Rick Singleton. Now, I apologize because I generally don't like to just sit and read the damn news. I hear it's really popular in right-wing radio in Beckley, but I don't like to just read news stories to you. Who? What? Anybody? Journalism? Freshman? Ninth grade journalism? Who? What? When? Where? How? Why? And how much? We are 12 paragraphs into this news story before we find out, and there is his picture. See him there, Agnes?
Yeah, I
want to
know. Cause I gotta
Looks like a fine it. Fella. Stanley, a 26-year law enforcement veteran, is accused of using his office and home computers to download and send, quote, images of children engaging in explicit sexual conduct. According to the arrest affidavit, his home and office computers were confiscated Monday as were reviewed by a computer forensic expert. FBI Special Agent Don Yarbrough testified Wednesday that 40,000 images, dear, 40,000 images were found on Stanley's home computer, including 10,000 images of child pornography. Yes, dear.
This was Florence, right?
Yeah.
Well, you better show the children the picture. That's where we're going.
FBI agent Yarbrough said the children in the images appeared to be 10 to 14 years old. Yarbrough said no images were found on Stanley's office computer. There'd been a hard drive erase program installed on the computer, Yarbrough said. That program was found on the front seat of his car during an inventory of the vehicle by Chief Rick Singleton. It goes on and on. Now, what do you... You got some not the sharpest knives in drawer dudes in South Miami who were conned into saying they would like to blow the Sears Tower up by a federal agent. Okay? They had never manifested any intent to do any bad thing or any. But you see, they were infiltrated by the FBI because they were part of a group that, you know, maybe was. Well, you know, look, the FBI. Look, again, we had this conversation. The FBI has infiltrated peace groups, so-called anarchist groups, anti-globalization groups, labor groups, racial equality groups. They videotaped the vegans in Atlanta protesting in front of Heavenly Ham. Okay? I mean, I know from fishing. Blup. Blup. I think I caught something. Oh, hell, it's a boot. Blup. Fishing all over this country.
Looking for someone dangerous who doesn't like the war and wants to get back at George Bush, at America, for starting George Bush's...
Meanwhile, there are police captains. That would be police captains. Running around, swapping internet pictures of little boys and little girls doing things that little boys and little girls ought not know how to do just yet. And this story, God, I hate journalism sometimes. You're twisted, Agnes. He also said if he got convicted, he'd probably go to prison for life, Yarbrough said. The statement was the stress of the moment, Tootin said. Officials said that if convicted on the charges, Stanley faces up to 10 years in prison. 10 years? 10 years? That's it? 10 years? 10 freaking years? They're gonna put these dudes in. They're gonna try to put them away for life in that maximum security place in Colorado and let them hang out with the Unabomber and then the blind sheik, for God's sakes. This guy. Oh, I don't even want to go into the graphic description of it, but he's a threat to the children. The children of Lauderdale and Colbert, well, mostly Lauderdale County, Alabama. Now, you tell me who the terrorist is, how about, okay? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The Jordanian-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, created under Bill Clinton, was the first to have labor rights protections included, so the AFL-CIO supported it. But AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says Jordanian workers are facing major problems with worker rights and working conditions, especially in export factories within areas that are called qualified industrial zones, where many immigrant workers are being abused.
The workers in these zones have been treated horribly. They are almost being treated as slave labor, indentured servants.
The AFL-CIO is filing a trade case in an effort to get enforcement of those labor protections. Lee says the Labor Federation is optimistic about the chances for improvements for Jordanian workers.
We are optimistic right now that these problems can be addressed, and we hope we'll be able to use the mechanism we put in place in the free trade agreement to really ensure that the Jordanian government lives up to its promises.
The AFL-CIO's Solidarity Center has released a report on workers in Jordan. It's the latest in a series of reports on the rights of workers in the global economy.
The Supreme Court this week unanimously came down in favor of a female forklift operator who was punished for filing a sex discrimination complaint against her supervisor. Sheila White was suspended for 37 days without pay and shifted from her duties as a forklift operator to more physical yard work. White, an employee of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway in Memphis, accused her foreman of sexual harassment. He was suspended, but the railroad charged her with insubordination. The ruling is important for workers because it establishes broader standards for retaliation claims by employees against their employers. Work for a big box retailer in Chicago, and it could mean bigger wages. The Chicago City Council approved a new ordinance that would make it mandatory for so-called big box stores like Walmart to pay employees a minimum of $10 an hour with $3 an hour in benefits. Proponents of the bill believe it will help lift up working families. Opponents believe the bill will be economically devastating by diverting development to the suburbs. The bill applies to companies with at least $1 billion in annual sales, stores of at least 90,000 square feet, and employees who work at least 10 hours a week.
Here's today's economic report. Last year, the average CEO made more money in a day in the U.S. than the average worker makes in a year. That's according to the Economic Policy Institute. This has not always been the economic norm in America. In 1965, for example, according to EPI, CEOs earned on average 24 times more than workers. It's now 262 times more. Average CEO pays just under $11 million a year in the U.S. at a time when working family wages are stagnating. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
So we missed a little bit. Yarbrough said that as they walked Captain Stanley into the U.S. Marshal's office Monday, Stanley asked if he could borrow his gun.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'd give it to him.
One bullet, Barney. One bullet. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend David is calling from Middle Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
So this Northern Alabama officer's name is Stanley?
Yes, Stanley.
You know, Bob, this is a really simple thing to be taken care of because this is obviously a case of big government, liberal entrapment, and all that fellow, that Stanley, that sworn officer that has done so much for that county in Northern Alabama. All he has to do is make bail, and on the ensuing Sunday morning, all he needs to do is remind everybody that he's a Bush voter and he's a registered Republican, and
because you know he is,
and explain loudly that it's a matter of liberal entrapment, and standing there on that blood-red carpet of the Salem Church.
Church of Christ. Amen, brothers. Testify, David. Testify.
Oh, don't you dare step on my line, you stinker. An absolution will be his right there in Zip City.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And, you know, if you get a chance, this is timesdaily.com. I think you have to go through one of those stupid registrations.
Oh, you know, I might this one.
Yeah, Times Daily. Well, the picture's there.
Oh, geez.
And you know, you want to you got to kind of see this guy because he's got that I'll put you behind bars, you dirtbag look on his face. That sort of sardonic, closed-lipped, sort of squinty-eyed, 30-mile stare. Well, through the tortoise-shell-rimmed glasses, but yeah, you know what I mean.
He's just putting together what he's going to say from the floor of some church. I was obviously fishing for a connection between your love of music, but I'm serious. If he's out of jail within the next 24 hours, he will be in a church somewhere claiming entrapment by liberal dark forces headed by Hillary Clinton and George Soros. He will be doing that, I swear to you.
Oh, Jesus, I wish you were wrong. I wish you were just kind of making it up. But, man, they know the drill.
Of course they do.
You know, the next horror is going to be, well, I don't know. I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking Church of Christ.
Well, what else?
Well, I mean, you know, because, no, I'm, you know, he could just as easily come from my own home congregation.
The Holy Apostolic Church of the Incredible Severed Artery.
Exactly. But no, you're right. But see, that there were details in this story that I didn't even fully gather unto myself until I had a chance to ponder them during the break. There were 40,000 images on his computer, David. 10,000 of them were kiddie porn.
Gee willikers. You know, I've gone to a few sites in my time with my cute little computer that I didn't pay much money for, you know, just to see what might be out there. And I might have 20 or 30 photographs in here I would not want to explain to my mother, but holy goodness.
40? You got to be working.
Well, for the last 10 years, that gets to be, you know, 7 photographs a day.
Yeah.
That goes all the way back to the Commodore 486. This old boy's been saving images.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's doing it on Usenet. He's a 26-year veteran of the FPD, David. He's been doing it since they went live on the Internet.
Oh, baby. Well, yeah, that means a lot. That means this fellow's been like a guy you wouldn't want to have over for a barbecue on Sunday afternoon for 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, that's 15 or 20 years he's been sitting there on that blood-red carpet at the Salem Church of Christ.
Well, on Sunday morning, he's been on other sorts of carpets prior to that. You know, at 2 o'clock in the morning before he goes to on Sunday morning, 2 o'clock on that Sunday morning before he's in church 10 hours later, I bet there's a lot of other stuff on that carpet. We'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, but the truth is, 40,000. You know, I mean. What are the other 30,000? I mean, is that okay? That's just, you know, straight up dirty pictures.
And I'm sorry, higher standard, officer of the law, serve and protect. We're going to make sure that the guy that goes out there to bust that 45-year-old man that's had a tough day and he drank one too many beers, the guy that makes that man's life miserable with $8,000 worth of legal charges because he blew a tenth over the state limit, the guy making sure he had 48 hours in an Alabama jail. Oh, but the guy that did that to that fellow that had one too many beers on the way home, that's the guy with 40,000 images defined by his home state as pornography.
Defined by these United States. This was a federal bust.
Oh, my gracious. You know what? There's so much more room in federal prison than any state prison. And it's so much tougher to get a jury that thinks as an Alabama lawyer or a Tennessee lawyer or as a Michigan lawyer or as an Oregon lawyer. When it's a federal trial, it's a whole different ballgame.
My money says he's a deacon, David.
I'm making it 3-2 in favor.
I'll put you down for a fin.
2 of yours gets 5 of mine, and let's leave room for some other callers.
All right. Yeah, I hear your phone doing the beepy thing.
Oh, no, that's just me making noises.
Oh, I thought it was Agent Fred.
It could be. Title charge.
Chesapeake Bay. Jesus, don't do that. Yeah, I've already done the South Asian accent this evening. You know, they may be out there.
Traffic lights on Avenue K.
There you go, not helping again.
Pennsylvania Avenue. All right, on that note, you know, just before the front door gets kicked in.
Aunt Mabel's secret Mississippi mud cake recipe.
Oh, exactly. Add extra fudge, would you please?
And marshmallows.
Don't forget the nut.
Later, David.
See ya.
Oh, goodness. Oh, you, yeah, this guy's... TimesDaily.com. If I gave you the rest of the link, I'd be here for the rest of the night. But Ken Stanley, Florence police captain, appears in court. Look at this guy. You're, this guy is a deacon in a church somewhere, right? I mean, are you with me, Agnes?
I'm so there.
And for his, I don't know, maybe he just won't be ratting out the preacher, and that's what'll save his hide. But this is the kind of crap that makes me crazy in bad journalism. This line about the family. The family's holding up about as well as can be expected. They're behind him 100%. Well, Jesus Christ, I'd think so, because you don't want him behind them 100%.
Oh, bad. Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to the phones. Andy is with us. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
I'm all right, I guess.
That was naughty.
Well, thank you.
Funny, though. Oh, dear. What should we talk about tonight? Well, there's a whole list of things, isn't there? I'm going to have to take you back a day or so. You had a caller the other night from Japan?
Yes, our friend Robert.
Robert, that's it, yeah. Talking about the U.S. soldiers' behavior. And Jim begged to differ, please. Well, I'm sorry, Jim, but you're wrong. I've been to Germany, and I live in Britain, and we know all about U.S. soldiers, and we know it's not most of them, but it only takes 10 or 15% of them to ruin it for everybody else, just the same as any other group of people. What would happen if 10% of your coppers were on the take? The police force would look bad, wouldn't they?
Yeah, or well, downloading kiddie porn.
Yeah, and if 10% of your soldiers are raping the women of the country that they're apparently protecting, how bad do you think that looks, Jim? Sorry, mate, to take it personally, but how bad do you think that looks? Because it got to the point in Britain where they had to, like, garrison British troops near American troops so that the American troops would fight the British troops instead of attacking the local population.
Oh, God. But, of course, yeah.
Germany is worse.
Well, yeah, and let's bear in mind that this is, to a certain extent, this is, this is symptomatic of a military that is under the control of a government that has an empire mindset. You guys went down this road too, Andy.
Oh yeah, for sure we did absolutely. I mean, our imperial, we're a bit further over our imperial past. Although, to be honest with you, there's plenty of people in power right now in Britain that think we're still an empire or would like to take it back. The only empire I want to see is a world empire of humanity, where we all either agree to differ and just leave each other alone or get along. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, let's look at the American empire. Oh, America is forced reluctantly into the role of world policeman by the recent events of the last 60 years. Well, that's what they'd like you to believe, and that's what they teach in your schools, and that's what they try and tell everyone around the world. But that's a rubbish. You didn't stumble into an empire any more than we stumbled into our empire or Rome stumbled into their empire. What rot.
Yeah.
I mean, empire is generally not something that happens because there's anything necessarily worthwhile over the borders. Empire is all about the political factions within the country that's creating the empire.
And the possibility of making a fast buck in the process.
Well, this is the problem. Everyone goes on to the fast buck too soon, but that's not actually relevant. I mean, Rome made a loss on some of its campaigns and made a huge profit on others, but the loss and the profit wasn't relevant. It was all about political power plays for control of Rome. You know, Caesar only went and slaughtered the Gauls because they were the closest ones to go and slaughter for taking control of Rome. He needed the popular support of the army. To get the popular support of the army, he had to have a successful campaign. Once he did that, he just had to feed the people. The people were behind him. The army was behind him. Well, it didn't matter what the rich senators did then, did it? Because he was in charge. And, I mean, you know...
Yeah, and Russia looked ripe for the picking to Napoleon, and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you know, and it, if it had been a little bit better planned, if Napoleon hadn't believed in feeding armies off the land, if he'd believed in supply trains, which, well, to be honest with you, Napoleon wasn't as much cop as everybody gives him, and he was an able tactician, but he was a terrible strategist. Because, you know, a good strategist doesn't invade Russia without a supply train. But,
boots, you know.
Well, a good strategist goes, can we feed the army there? Maybe, maybe not. Let's go for yes, not maybe.
Yeah.
That's, you know, logistics, I suppose. But, you know, empire is all driven by the power plays within society. Now, for our empire, it was rich merchants wanting to get richer, and you can only exploit monopolies if you can have a monopoly, and the only way you can have a monopoly is if you've got enough guns or boots on the ground. That's why we controlled vast stretches of the richest bits of the earth, because we invaded vast stretches of the earth and then left the poor bits alone because they weren't worth holding on to. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's Britain's in name, but nobody's going to bother invading a bunch of mountains like somewhere or other because it's not relevant. Now, where empire starts falling apart is where it starts going to war over points of honor, as opposed to just, you know, either trying to make some money or being driven from the inside. And that's what America's kind of doing now. Rome did it. We did it. I mean, has anyone heard of Afghanistan back in the 1800s?
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Do you know how many people made it out, Bob?
I would hazard a guess that it was damn few.
One.
One?
One out of 17,000 soldiers, and probably the same number of sort of camp followers, children and wives and things. One man was allowed to survive by the Afghans. He was a doctor. He was allowed to survive so he could take the message back to England. Don't come and try and mess with Afghanistan. And that was way back when, you know, that's like 150 years or something.
Well, yeah, and that was back when, you know, and yeah, I mean, that's stunning. That's stunning to me, Andy. You know, 16,999 dead in something that the diplomats of Great Britain and Russia referred to jovially as the Great Game.
Oh, yeah, well, it was the Great Game. I mean, the Great Game only really ended, I suppose, when you get to the First World War, and I suppose the bit where it ended was when people like Haig realized they'd killed 500,000 men in an hour. Then the Great Game stopped being quite so glorious and got a bit grubby, really.
Yeah. The jolly wore off in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. But right, we'll move on from that. I mean, you know, I agree with Jim. Most U.S. soldiers are not rapist thugs. But I agree with Robert. Some of them are, and it's the some of them that are the problem. Because, I mean, you know, we've got U.S. Navy turn up here, and we've got U.S. Air Force turn up here. And outside of the Marines, both of those groups are fine. The Marines are a bit too much like your GIs, which is to say, you know, thuggish. But I guess it's, you know, what you get if you don't train them right. And Britain's sort of guilty of this, too. You know, our squaddies act terribly overseas as well. So I'm not saying we're superior at all.
No, I know.
You know, I would say Japan is. I would say Japan is now. They've developed a post-apocalyptic warrior ethic. Because, you know, Japan went through the apocalypse and they survived. And now it's all like gravy from now on in. That's why their society's so nuts.
Yeah. We're alive!
Yeah, right, you know. Wow. Check it out. Like
they didn't kill us all down to the last man. How about that?
Yeah, right. And, you know, they seem to have a somewhat more honorable warrior ethic, as they've taken sort of the best bits of the samurai ethic and they've taken the modern morality thing. They seem to have taken it to heart, because I've never heard any reports of Japanese Defense Force soldiers anywhere in the world on operations doing anything wrong.
Well, and the same thing in large part applies to the Wehrmacht.
Oh, yeah, well, the Germans are correct beyond all else. Because, you know, they've still got a real... I mean, it's only... Well,
I remember when we invaded Kosovo, I saw footage, Andy, of a German jet for the first time leaving German airspace to go and bomb another country. And there it was with that Maltese cross, I mean, on the straight up and down black and white cross, not the Maltese, but you know what I'm talking about.
The Luftwaffe symbol, yeah.
And it was the Luftwaffe.
Hmm?
And it was the Luftwaffe.
Well, it is the Luftwaffe.
It's not like they threw the language away.
No, well, they don't. I mean, the Germans, to do that for the Germans would be dishonorable, I think, because they don't deny their past. They don't necessarily want to talk about it all the time like the British do, but that's because we won, do you know what I mean? That we can go the ha-ha-ha, two World Cups and one, you know, two World Wars and one World Cup, I think, is the chart this year.
Are you following the World Cup, Andy?
Well, I don't, but I can explain anything any American's confused about. I'm not a football fan, but I live in Britain. I'm versed in football. You know what I mean? It's like you guys in baseball. I don't really understand baseball personally, but yeah. You know.
Well, if the opportunity ever comes, we'll go to Yankee Stadium. And, yeah. But I ask you that because of the hand wringing that took place on the sports channels in this country yesterday after our humiliating, ostensibly humiliating defeat at the hands of Ghana.
Well, that's not humiliating at all. To be beaten by an unknown African team in the World Cup is not uncommon for anyone. You get these teams that kind of just periodically, these African teams, two World Cups ago, it was the Cameroon.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they just stunned everyone. They went right through to, I think it was the quarterfinals or the semifinals, and everyone was just, whoa, what? You know, they were knocking people out left, right, and center. Again, here with Ghana, it's the same sort of thing. You have these African teams, and they have such amazing talent. I mean, a lot of the European football players start through the West African clubs.
Yeah.
And a lot of European football coaches go out to West Africa. I guess the same way that you guys get your baseball and football players from Central and South America a lot as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we poach the African football market. But there are some really quality players, and a lot more money's been spent on it, because I think people have realised that you can use sport to bring people out of poverty to a degree, because you can get people focused on, you know, first of all, you've got a ground, and you can go and watch the matches, and it's nice and cheap, and it's just, it's a way of relieving pressure from society, I guess, isn't it?
Well, but, I guess I see racism maybe even where it doesn't exist, but in some of this hand-wringing, how could we possibly lose
to a bunch of black people? Well, put it this way, they're a lot more athletic than your average American. So if you take a baseline of higher athletic ability, and I say that just because they walk around and do stuff with their bodies more than your
and they have American. And black, white, or green, they started out kicking rocks when they were toddlers.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see, if you take a video camera to Africa, the two most likely things you're going to see are AK-47s and footballs.
Yeah.
Aside from people. And I don't know which ones, you know, I mean, like, there's more AK-47s, but you probably see more football. I mean, literally, everyone everywhere in Africa plays football. It's ridiculous. But it's, you know, it's good.
I kind of wish the loss we had taken, Andy, had been a more straightforward loss, because that was the other thing of watching American sports channels. It was the, we was robbed
because of the
penalty kick.
Yeah, well, the problem with penalties is it's always we was robbed afterwards. Who'd be a referee? You know, I mean, I didn't see the match. I saw some highlights of it and stuff. And I didn't see any really questionable decisions made. I mean, do you know what I mean?
There was we was robbed, and then there's he was mugged.
Yeah, right, you know, I mean... It all comes down to the thing about football now is, I think part of the problem is there's such good camera technology that you actually see more at home than the referee could possibly see on the pitch.
Yeah.
You can see the ball cross the line because they have those goal line cameras, and the referee can't tell.
But, you know, there's this, there was a question put forward on one of the programs yesterday, Andy, when will America win the World Cup? You know, and I was in the kitchen and I looked at it, never.
Hell freezing over?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some sort of divine right of, you know, that...
Yeah, no, America has that attitude about a lot of stuff. I mean, that's why you have the World Series where only you take part.
Right. Yeah, because we kind of played the real World Series this last year and got our butts handed to us.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, the fact is, if America wants to win the World Cup, I can give America some advice. Right, first of all, you need to open as many football training things for the 4 and 5 year old boys and girls as you have baseball and, you know, American football. You need to offer scholarships on soccer. Sorry, I keep calling it football because it is over here.
Now, well, it is to the rest of the world. Loss on.
Yeah, I'm going to call it football. Yeah, you.
That's what it is.
American football from now on, actually. Yeah, I'm taking a stand. You need to get kids.
Because what we play is rugby with body armor.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it is a lot rougher than rugby, because rugby's got some rules about where you can grab people, and American football pretty much hasn't, except family jewels. You're not allowed to grab there, are you? But I used to play American football as a flanker, like right out on the far wings. And,
yeah, sure.
And I'm small enough and fast enough for it, but it really hurt being hit in the face by 18 stone of, like, you know, full back, and it wasn't good fun. You know? I gave that up when the body armor parted around a corner flag, which stabbed me in the side.
Ow!
Yeah, I did. It was supposed to bend and flip out of the way, but it snapped and I landed on it. So that was the end of my American football career. And then
yeah,
I impacted two of the vertebrae in my spine. I gave up playing rugby. And when I broke my collarbone for the fifth time, I gave up playing football.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a tough man to convince, Andy.
Yeah, well, you've got to keep going at it. It's the Scottish side of things. It's like, it's not going to beat me. It's not going to beat me. Okay.
It beat you. Hey, Andy, we've got to hit the top. Thanks so much for your many thoughts. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful, wonderful tomorrow.
Yeah, I will do. Have a good weekend and love to Agnes. I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
And news is coming next. This is the Head On Radio Network.
The absence of significant rock-based music of exceptional quality has resulted in the unthinkable. Hell has frozen over.
This is the Quality News Network. Five of the seven men accused of plotting to bomb the Sears Tower and other federal buildings appeared in court today. Their bail hearing was set for next Friday. An FBI spokesperson said the agency infiltrated the group after someone the members tried to recruit alerted authorities. The New York Times reports that the Treasury Department has been collecting information on financial transactions since September 11th. That was revealed yesterday by news organizations, which the government is criticizing for revealing national security information. Agency head John Snow defended the program as a way to track the flow of terrorist money, but Democrats say it is one more example of the Bush administration's expansion of presidential powers. In Baghdad, the government has imposed a curfew and declared a state of emergency after a firefight with insurgents. Today, the U.S. military announced five more American soldiers died. In addition, the U.S. military announced that a senior member of Al-Qaeda was captured. Al Jazeera Television aired a video today in which Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri praised slain leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He also lashed out at Americans, saying the U.S. will have peace only when all Muslim countries have peace. In Washington, the top U.S. military commander in Iraq accused Iran of helping Shiite groups in Iraq. He said Iran has been providing weapons and training to enable Shiites to continue their attacks on U.S. troops. Also in Baghdad, Saddam Hussein has ended a short-lived hunger strike to protest the death of one of his attorneys. A U.S. military spokesman said Saddam only missed one meal, lunch. In Washington, the Navy has launched an investigation to find out how personal information found its way onto a civilian website. Social Security numbers and other information on nearly 30,000 sailors and members of their families was discovered today. Also in Washington, Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta has announced he will resign next month. Mineta, the only Democrat in the president's cabinet, once served as mayor of San Jose in California. In California, scientists say they're concerned about the large numbers of starving baby pelicans that have been washing up on the beaches. Because the birds are on the endangered species list, scientists say there is more competition for food. Near Sedona, Arizona, fire crews are battling a growing wildfire. The nearly 4,000-acre blaze has been burning since Sunday and is expected to continue for several more days. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Houston will be the site of the first U.S. nuclear reactor plant since 1973. Hitachi and General Electric have announced plans to build two nuclear reactors at a cost of $5.2 billion. Diplomatic relations with Libya are expected to be resumed next week. The U.S. cut ties with the country since the 1988 Pan Am airline bombing over Lockerbie. The move will open the door for oil negotiations. The United Auto Workers Union says about 40,000 hourly workers will accept buyout and early retirement offers by GM and Delphi. That number exceeded their expectations. The Commerce Department reports that orders for durable goods fell 0.3% last month, despite an expected increase. It's the second straight month of declines in big-ticket factory orders led by weak demand for commercial aircraft. The personal information of current and former employees of supermarket chains Stop and Shop, Giant, and Tops has been stolen. The parent company said an employee's laptop computer was stolen. It was the second such incident this month alone. Comcast and Time Warner Cable have signed revised agreements to buy the assets of cable operator Adelphia. The revisions, which may allow the companies to get past creditor disputes, are still subject to court approval. Light sweet crude settled at $70.87 today. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 30 points, NASDAQ down 1, S&P 500 also down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Here indeed. 50 minutes or so left in the program tonight. 50 minutes to get the last bee out of your bonnet and burr out from under your saddle as we move toward the dreaded weekend. And a reminder again, of course, it's not that dreaded because there are wonderful things that happen on the weekend. Jovecchio happens on the weekend, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Fourth Estate Radio happens on the weekend, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It's, you know, Fourth Estate's the only chance you get to hear John Fox and Bruce Birch together. And that's a potent mix. And a fun mix. I gotta admit, it's a fun mix.
John is an awesome engineer.
You know, it's the opportunity for John Fox, who spends most of his time being our engineer, to step out from behind the knobs and the dials and the things that go whiz and zip, and get behind a microphone, and that's where the magic happens. So it's coming up on 7 minutes after the hour. Jim has been waiting a while. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Not for a while. I dumped a bunch of cat litter, did some house cleaning, so that's no problem.
Okay, good deal.
A couple things I want to say to you, and I need some time here. Let's be interrupted if you don't mind, okay?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Quick. First thing about this internet pornography thing.
Yeah.
And about these people who pervade this stuff on the internet. Well, when I watched MSNBC and I saw a man walk into a carport with 2 six-pack of beer with nothing on but a pair of Reeboks and tube socks, looking for a 14-year-old boy, I thought, well, when he walked into the kitchen, there was a forest of cameras. I had seen everything.
So, I think I saw that same thing, Jim.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know.
Was this the same one where the guy shows up with his little kid by the hand?
No. He had a six-pack of beer in each hand, and obviously he was expecting to find a young gentleman of the age of 13 to 14, and so, I mean, I'm not going to go any further than that. Needless to say, he was quite surprised.
Yeah.
And I don't think he should be doing that anytime soon. So, I mean, you know, nothing that surprises me. The other thing is this, and this is where you and I have a fundamental difference. Now, on this program, I have been frivolous. I have camped. And for people who don't know what camping is, it's gay parlance or just banter, body knowledge, or repartee,
mm-hmm,
with no problem. Now, the third thing is this thing about the lieutenant who refused to deploy to Iraq.
Yes, the hero.
No problem with that, okay?
Now, yeah, he's a hero, Jim.
I know. And I feel sorry for the young man. However, and this is what I want to say without being interrupted. You can say what you want to when I finish, okay? I want you to
listen. Jim, don't give me orders.
I'm not. And don't give me orders either. But what I'm saying is, when he went into the service, my first question is this. I've been green and I've been blue, and I can tell you blue is better. I would to God he had gone into the Air Force or the Navy. Therefore, his chances of being in the sands of Iraq would have been much, much less. But he went into the Army. He took an oath of office. Now, Bob, an oath is something. These are words that you say to God.
Yeah, did you hear his interview?
I heard it. And
he was very specific about his oath, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it says also, without purpose of evasion, in that oath. I've taken it about 3 or 4 times. And when a man takes an oath, he basically holds his own self like water, okay, in his hands. And when he opens his hands, or if he opens his fingers, the water pours out and it's gone. And as for myself, I would hate to think I would be that kind of person. Now, that's just my personal opinion.
So are you saying that he is somehow dishonorable?
I am saying that he took an oath and that he did not fulfill the oath, that obligation.
But he did. That's specifically why he has refused to deploy, is because he is upholding his oath while thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, do not.
But here is the problem with that, and there's always a problem with that. He told the people there, if I'm not mistaken, that he wished to resign his commission. Now, this guy also went to OCS, which he further inculcated within him the meaning of the oath that he took. He wanted to become an officer as opposed to being an enlisted man. Okay?
Right, yeah.
And he said, I want to resign my commission, and they asked him why, and he told them why. And that was the clinch right there, because he did not want to fulfill what he had said he was going to do.
I disagree.
Well, let me finish. And, you know, in the 4-1 and the DA Form 1266, the basic elements of what we call the MPRJ or the 201 file or the Military Personnel Records Jacket, you have the enlistment oath. It's there. It's set forth in public law. And, you know, there it is in the words. You know what you're doing when you do it. And I just have problems in having the sympathy for him that you do. And I want to make that very clear.
I think that's very sad, Jim.
Well, I do. I do have a problem with that. As far as Iraq is concerned, let me explain that, too. We're in a hell of a mess over there. We went over there with no business at all. But we went over there and screwed up that country. We have ruined that country, and we owe those people a debt. We broke it, and we're going to have to fix it. Now, that's the obligation we have. And
so
can't just leave.
So we're going to fix it with guns and bombs, Jim?
I don't know how we're going to fix it. We're going to need some help to fix it with some other countries if we can get their trust back.
Well, the American military can't fix it. We'll never fix it.
I'm just saying we're going to have to fix it. I didn't say the American military.
Well, you know,
say that, but so we owe those people a debt.
Oh, I agree. What did Colin Powell call it? The pottery barn rule.
Exactly. You broke it, you fix it.
You broke it, you bought it. But you know what? You don't buy it back with guns and bayonets and bombs on pregnant mothers.
Well, I know that, and I have told you many times on this program, many times, how much I hate the indiscriminate bombing of civilians. The first time it happened, we talked about what happened in the Mansour district of Baghdad when they dropped those JDAMs trying to get Saddam, and they killed 45 people. And I hate the whole thing. But we simply just can't pull out. Somebody's going to have to, the next wartime president, and that's who it's going to probably be, is going to have to try to cobble something together with an alliance of nations, somebody besides George Bush. Because nobody trusts him anymore. I mean, he went to Salzburg and not to the festival this week, and I can tell you they were booing the hell out of him, calling him Hitler. And it took 3,000 people to guard that man. 1,000 went with him, and they had 2,000 waiting on him when he got there. Closed down the entire city of Salzburg. Nobody's going to do business with that SOB. I agree. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah. Nobody in their right mind.
Well, but it's going to take this country and a lot of other countries working in concert to try to give those people back at least something that's similar to what they had, and to leave them in a reasonable state in which we found them.
And in which they can sort their own problems out.
Exactly.
A lot of these, Jim, problems stem from the fact that, you know, it's the old saying about if all of your problems look like nails, all of your solutions will look like hammers. We couldn't think of any other way to change the situation in Iraq than to slaughter Iraq, and that is the bugbear of small minds. And God knows we've got a ton of small minds, you know, passing themselves off as geniuses. Now, you say we owe them a debt. Dear Lord God, I don't know that 10 generations of Americans could pay that debt any more than 10 generations of Americans could pay the debt that we owe the Vietnamese. All right? But you are not, I am not, we are not going to pay that debt with guns and bombs and tanks and mortars and rocket-propelled grenades and nighttime invasions of homes and babies screaming in the night and mothers lying on the floor. We are not going to pay that debt that way. The American military must exit Iraq yesterday.
Well, how do you propose to fix what's been broken?
After the American military is gone,
okay,
then perhaps a coalition may be formed to go in and try to keep the peace. We're not there as peacekeepers, okay? We're there as occupiers, and there is a dramatic difference.
Well, I will say this. We've given them several deadlines, and they've met these deadlines, okay? And they have.
Well, look at Jay Garner, Jim. Before you start talking about deadlines, look at Jay Garner. That man was sent over there to run Iraq. And the interview was he was interviewed by Greg Palast. And Jay Garner got to Baghdad, and as soon as he got there, he was told by Rumsfeld, "Don't unpack, you're fired." Because Jay Garner went there and looked at the plan for Iraq, and it didn't have anything about elections. We ballyhooed these elections. These elections were afterthoughts. The initial plan for Iraq had nothing to do, nothing in it about the Iraqis forming their own government. Jay Garner, the man who was appointed to do that, has spoken to that fact.
Well, what did I just tell you? I said it's not going to happen until after the current administration leaves office.
I understand that.
No one is going to do business with these people. They're not going to do business with Bush, and by that I meant anyone in his command.
Well, frankly, I don't know that they're going to do business with the United States, because it's not just George Bush. The United States cannot be trusted. There, we have a servile, complacent, Congress.
Managed to do a reasonable repair with Vietnam. Things have calmed down considerably over there. People are visiting over there. And we were there. That happened. And, you know, that's a historical fact.
And well, we didn't do that repair, Jim.
The same thing could happen in Vietnam, could happen in Iraq.
Do you remember the purges that took place in Vietnam?
With the re-education things for the communists?
Yeah.
That you're talking about?
I mean, we didn't take care of the rebuild in Vietnam.
No, we just left precipitously.
Yeah.
But they managed to cobble their country back together because they've just been able to do it. And they did it.
And a lot of blood was shed along the way there.
It was, unfortunately.
What I'm trying to get to, though, is there is no fix to this situation that involves the United States. It is impossible for the United States to participate in the rehabilitation of Iraq.
Well, who do you think is going to do it then?
I think the Arab world is going to have to do it.
I think they have the means to do it, and I don't think they have the inclination.
Damn sure got the money.
Well, money doesn't fix everything, and let's just go back to Iraq. Iraq is an amalgam. It was put together by a British cartographer.
Yes, I know.
And, you know, you put Shiites and Kurds and Sunnis together, and unfortunately, those are a volatile combination that do not mix.
Just like putting together Bosnians and Serbs, and Croats, and Kosovars.
Well, you know, it's like the old Austro-Hungarian Empire that was composed of Magyars, Slavs, and Germans. It was, at best, a rumbling thing that had just been cobbled together.
Yeah, and the same can be said for the Ottoman Empire.
And the same thing with the Ottoman Empire.
And there are political and sociological equivalents to plate tectonics, Jim.
But I do believe the United States will have to play a role in helping these countries have perhaps three separate republics that used to be Iraq, and also to reestablish their trust in us if that is possible, because we have a very poor track record with the Iranians, have with what we did in 1953 with the restoration of the Shah when he was thrown out. The Iranians don't like us over there, and we've got a lot of stuff that's going to go on. A lot of blood's going to have to go beneath the bridge. But, you know, it's a generational thing. It may be five or six generations before this can heal, if it ever heals.
And it does not start to heal until we get out?
Well, to just pull out precipitously.
Oh, I don't think there's anything precipitous about pulling out, Jim. We've been there for 3 years.
Should we just completely exit and leave, okay, and split and be gone tomorrow? I think, and I might be wrong, I think you might see some things happen over there that you might want to think twice about. And
I know what's going to happen over there, Jim.
I don't know. I don't
have to have a crystal ball. I don't have to have any magic powers.
I don't have that either, and I don't know.
I know the place is going to descend into chaos until one group stands up, and if they want democratic form of government, they will eventually fight for it, die for it, and have it. Okay? But the far greater possibility is that you will have a fracturing. You will have a fracturing to the north with the Kurds. You will have a fracturing to the south with the Shia, and the Sunnis will be butchered.
Well, did I not say that it could split into three parts?
Well, it's not. It's going to split into two. The third part is going to get massacred.
Well, do you think the Sunnis are going to sit by and allow themselves to be massacred? And don't you think some of them...
No, they're going to fight back. It's a civil war. They're already doing that.
Don't you think some might take their side?
You mean like some sort of Arab conflagration?
Yeah, exactly. Don't you think someone might take the side of the Sunnis? I don't think it's going to...
The Iranians aren't.
This
the Jordanians aren't.
Is,
the Saudis aren't.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for those people.
The Turks might, but I don't think the Turks won't. No, because the Turks might stir up the Kurds, and the Turks fall asleep at night saying, you know, dear whomever, don't let the Kurds get us.
What will happen to the Kurds? They will be annexed by Turkey, because Turkey looks with envious eyes on the section occupied by the Kurds.
Well, the thing is, there's an ethnic Kurd population in Turkey that won't tolerate that.
Well, I don't know about that, but
because the Kurds are the single largest ethnic group in the entire world that does not have a homeland of its own.
Well, I don't know who's in power in Ankara today, but I do know that there are envious eyes in Istanbul and Ankara that have cast their vision upon that part of Iraq that's occupied by the Kurds. I'm saying that it will probably be a genuine bloodbath and a genuine mess.
Well, what I'm trying to get across to you, Jim, is that bloodbath that you're describing is going to happen whether we leave right now or leave a year from now or leave 10 years from now and declare that we have achieved peace with honor. That bloodbath is going to occur.
Well,
no one can stop it. It is literally plate tectonics.
And what happens to our having fixed what we've broken? What happens to your strategy then?
Well, like I said, I don't think the United States can participate in that. All we can do is write the check.
Well, who's going to do it? I don't think the Arabs are going to do it. I don't think it's in their interest to do it.
First of all, it falls to the Iraqis. You know, that's the whole thing. If you crank up the time machine, Jim, and who are they? They're people who want to be Iraq, as opposed to who want to be Kurds.
Don't want to be Iraq anymore. That's my point.
Right. I understand your point, but what I'm trying to say to you is there is nothing that you can do to stop any of this. The only thing that's going to happen by saying, well, you know, we must withdraw gradually and not precipitously, the only thing that happens with all of that is that a few more American soldiers die this year and next year, and it's not a few, you know, it's 1,000 a year. And I'm not willing to add 1,000 names because, you know, they're going to build a monument on the mall somewhere. Maybe it'll look like a giant oil pipeline.
I don't know. I don't know either what they're going
to
do.
But I'm not willing to add another 1,000 names per year.
Well, that may well be true, but I can say this, that our precipitous withdrawal after we've gone in there and have wrecked their society the way we have, is I don't think that's going to be the solution. We're going to have to agree to disagree with that and move on. However, I would hope that something would be able to, with the help of other countries, if they're willing to give us a hand, even if we have to write the check, we can at least lead those people as we found them and restore some of their infrastructure and also to repair their electrical utilities.
Well, I'll tell you a secret, Jim. As quick as we leave, they'll fix it.
Well, I hope they do.
I absolutely think they will, because there are people who want to have some sort of a country there, but they can't as long as we're there. The cable that was sent by the Baghdad embassy that was obtained by the New York Times, that thing was horrifying. We're making people's lives miserable by our very presence. People who work for the United States Embassy in Baghdad cannot take their cell phones home with them for fear that they will ring and that the embassy number will show up and they will be dead the next day. People who go to work at that embassy are dropped off three blocks away and sneak into work for fear of being seen and having their families slaughtered for being collaborators.
Well,
because
live in the green zone?
No, they don't live in the green zone.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but...
We're not liberators, we're occupiers.
Well, whatever we are, I can say this. We've been occupiers before, and we've been able to, for example, as in Japan, help rebuild countries.
Right, and that was a beaten nation that wanted to be rebuilt. The same with Germany. And both nations had prior experience with democratic forms of government, be it the Diet or the Bundestag.
I don't think the Japanese did.
Yes, they certainly did.
What?
The Diet.
They
had an emperor, but they had a representative body that answered to the emperor. The Diet existed prior to World War II.
I don't think so.
It did.
Well, all I know is this, that the army controlled everything in Japan, and so did the warrior class, and women weren't allowed to vote or anything like that. So whatever type of representative government they had over there, it wasn't too effective.
Oh, you mean
after we set it up, it certainly was a lot more effective, and that's my point. So I mean,
they had a prior experience
with me,
Jim. They had a prior experience with some level of representative government. Iraq does not have that.
Well, okay,
and never has. Democracy must be an organic structure; it cannot be imposed.
Well, I never said that it could. I simply said that it could, and I've said this before on this program, that democracy must come from within and not be put...
There's a lot more people in Iraq that don't want it than do.
Well, then maybe they won't have a democracy.
And we will never know until we...
Before.
And we will never know until we get out. The most likely thing is that some strong man, if there's going to be an Iraq, some strong man will rise up, similar to Saddam Hussein, similar to Marshal Tito.
Well, if that's what it takes to rebuild the country and to restore some semblance of order... And to cauterize the wound and stop the hemorrhage, then that's what it'll have to take, you know?
Of course, you know, from my perspective, I know it's a little bit crude, but I'm more concerned with Americans. And I want Americans to stop dying for nothing.
Well,
because they're not, the soldiers over there doing whatever they're doing, if we pull out, it's not because they failed. It's because their leadership failed. It is, Jim, Vietnam all over again.
Well, General Shinseki told them that from Jump Street.
Yeah, exactly. But
you don't have an exit strategy. You don't have enough men to go in there and take care of this. And he was cashiered.
Yeah, and General Myers, General Pace, this parade of generals who think...
Look at who you've got in charge of the whole thing. You've got this a-hole Rumsfeld. And he imposes his will on these men. And even, I don't care, they have a galaxy of stars on their shoulders. For some reason, when he gets around those guys, they shake like little children.
Yeah, they do. But Jim, there's also a cadre there of generals who like what Rumsfeld says.
Very few.
I don't think so, because these guys have waited all their lives for a chance to blow stuff up. That's what generals do.
Well, that's what the military is. It's
yeah.
a corporation, Bob.
Right. So, you know, peace is not going
to
come.
War, they have a chance to get on a faster.
Right. And peace is not going. I understand that. And that is why peace is not going to come from the military. By definition, it cannot come from the military. I remember that.
Did I say that it could?
You suggest. Well, never mind. But you remember.
Did I say that it could?
You remember the motto there at Burpleson Air Force Base? In Dr. Strangelove, peace is our profession.
I do very well. I saw it, used to see it every day when I drove in the front gate of another place just like it.
You know, and that is so much hooey.
I don't think so. I don't agree with that either. Look, I got to go. Thank you.
I do too. Thank you. Jeepers. I don't know what's so hard to understand. We must leave now. Staying only means more American mothers learning what it feels like to ache in the place in their womb where that child used to be, and finding out they've been blown into their constituent pieces for no godforsaken reason whatsoever. Or maybe it was because a little jug-eared, pig-eyed lout in Washington, D.C. said, "I've lost my patience. We must leave now." I'm as close to using bad language right now as I have ever been on this program. Because I'm among friends, right? You understand this. You get it. You know, this is overthought in Washington, D.C. This is overthought by guys with four stars on their shoulders who think, "Oh, I'm going to have a hell of a book tour after I retire talking about this here war. Because I was a military genius." No. No, General. You're a loser. We got a bunch of winners in the enlisted corps. We have heroes in the junior officer corps. But we have a damn sight of losers. From bird colonel on up. We'll take a break and come back and take your phone calls. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. When I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I had an unforgettable mentor who believed in me and encouraged me to pursue my dreams. Today, there are millions of children across this country waiting for a mentor to help them. Improving the world starts with one child. Please, become a volunteer mentor for Mentoring USA. Give children the chance to develop and flourish and share in the future that belongs to them.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to the high school.
It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't, ha 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if it was fake or real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues, like violence. Please, talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
The following sound effect is for the chat room.
Hell no, it's not coming on yet. Quit
that. It's not time for the song yet. Let's go to the phones. Laura has waited a long time. Laura, thank you for calling the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. This is Laura from Michigan. First-time caller.
Yay, Michigan. We get to add another pushpin to the map.
Yeah. Long-time listener.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you that I was never so proud the other night when you started your show with We Must Leave Iraq Now. And it was such a wonderful tribute to the lieutenant that you started your show that way. And I don't think some people understand that the lieutenant is being very courageous, and he is a hero for standing up like he is. You know, even I was hoodwinked in the beginning, way back when, even though I understood George Bush should not be our president, and isn't our president, really. He wasn't our president back then, and how illegal that was. But I listened to Colin Powell that day at the UN.
Oh, it was impressive, wasn't it?
Yes, I believed the lies, and I thought, oh, this has got to be done. It sounded right to me. You know, we all lived through 9/11 and how horrific that was. And so it wasn't until later on when either the Kool-Aid wore off or whatever, you know, I saw the light, and ever since then, the horror has just, every day goes on and on and on, and I don't understand how anybody could begin to even think that we should be there. And it's just exactly as you state, that we're a cause of the problem over there. There's nothing going to happen until we get out of there.
We are the problem.
Yes, we are. We have become the problem. And it's just the horror story of all our people over there. And besides the Iraqis, the poor innocent Iraqis, the death and mutilation, the whole horror story of it all. I don't know how these other people who are on the right can, I don't know, I don't even get them. I can't stand it. And then what I can't understand is some people who claim to be so religious, which I guess I'll put that in quotes, because I think people who are spiritual, they know what that is. They know that this is horrific and has to be put an end to. You know, all I can think of as a person, and a person with a soul, is to just pray for peace every day and try to put the thought out there to stop this horror story that's going on. But I don't understand these people that claim to hold beliefs and to be Christian-like to continue to let this go on.
Well,
and it hurts me.
Yes, it exactly. Oh, you just. Oh, that's. I'm not glad you said it. Glad you said it. But yes, Laura. Yes, it hurts. I don't know about anybody else, and I won't presume to speak for them. But every time, you know, I hear, oh well, you know, two dead in Iraq today. Maybe it's because of the way what I studied, or maybe it's because of the way I was raised, or a combination of, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm psychotic. Okay, but I hear two people dead in Iraq, and I am, you know, I flash on the mother and I flash on the father,
mm-hmm.
and little babies who were born after their daddies deployed to Iraq, and I feel a very that you ever have that nightmare where you're falling and you wake up and you've got that sick still falling feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to me.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to block yourself because there's no way to go there, you know, to go all the way. To the horror. Yeah, I block myself because where am I going to come back to? You know, you can't go all that way. I just go, oh, God, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe that we went through the lessons of Vietnam and we come back a generation later and we got a bunch of people who want to do it again and can't see that that's what it is.
I know.
The United States was never conceived to go and invade other sovereign nations.
No. No.
You know, from George Washington in the farewell address saying, avoid foreign entanglements.
Yeah.
Forward. That's not our gig. You know, whether it was Jefferson dealing with finally having to deal with the Barbary pirates, we didn't go looking for that fight.
I know. It's something. And, you know, and the Islamic people, and the more that I've learned about them in the recent history is, they have a whole different take on things.
Yes.
And it's not just this whole illusion of trying to bring the democracy their whole culture is their religion is their whole culture, and whatever is going to happen over there, they're going to make what it is. We're not going to force anything on them. So, you know, us being over there isn't helping matters at all, besides the whole fact that it's causing all the death and mutilation.
Well, exactly. And again, I think we're possibly guilty, or the leader, we, not you and me, not us, but the leadership is guilty of overthink or Washington think or whatever, you know, whatever descriptor you want to use. If you, you know, and I'm certain, I certainly do not qualify as a scholar of Islam, but I do know that Islam is not just a religion. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got groups in the United States that would like to, that would like, for instance, for being Baptist to be not just religion but politics. Well, that is the real world in the Islamic world for the most part, because Islam doesn't just incorporate religion for them, it incorporates their political structure, because the Muhammad, and I think you're supposed to say peace be upon him when you say his name, Muhammad put forward a system, what's referred to as a hereditary caliphate, where there would be a caliph who was both spiritual and political leader of the entire Islamic world.
That's more than I know.
And as a consequence, it seems difficult for me to conceive that you could have, within that context, if you're talking about Islamic purism, if you could have in that context a strictly secular government.
Right.
Because eventually you're going to reach a tipping point where the thing is like a wishbone pulled too far.
Yeah.
And I think the government will break before Islam does, or at least that's what the last 1,400 years say.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't
it? It is. And the idea that none of this was contemplated, that there was some sort of idea, you know, because Saddam, for all the evil that he had built a secular society.
Well, and that comes down to PNAC again, where these people don't care about anybody. And then you turn around, too, also, and we're talking about the ecology of this planet is failing and where it all goes to. The only thing I can think is all these people who are running around trying to control everything, they don't care. They don't care if Greenland melts and half of this planet gets destroyed. You know what I think they call it? I think they call it population control. So they don't care how many people die, how much is destroyed. They've probably got places set up on this earth where they figure they can live out the rest of their glorious.
Precisely. Precisely, Laura.
I don't know what else it could be, because that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because the rest of us are going to, I don't know, barely survive or not.
Well, I joked to our kids, you know, never sell this property, guys, because you're going to have, you know, your great-grandkids will have beachfront property.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
You know, I mean, Michigan, you know, I think the lake could, you know, the lake may get larger. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, you never know.
But, Laura, so good to hear from you.
Oh.
We've got some call. Oh, and I have been explicitly asked by the chat room to please invite you in.
Oh, well, you can tell them I'm Laura 127, and I've been in a couple times as well.
Oh, okay, well, they're hearing you, so feel free to wander in any time you want to. Laura, it's a pleasure to hear from you.
Oh, thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care and be well and have a wonderful evening and a great weekend.
Thank you, and say hello to Agnes again for me.
I sure will. Bye now.
Bye.
And we're running out of time and rolling on to Preston calling from Denver. Other button, dear. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. I'm actually a second-time caller.
Yeah, we did talk some long while back. It's been a while.
Yeah. Mike Malloy actually mentioned you last night during his show, and I thought I'd give you a call and say hello.
Well, I consider Mike to be the prince of this business, and I thank him for, you know, I appreciate it every time he mentions the program.
Great. And again, I've just been enjoying this dialogue that you host. It's really a pleasure to listen to. And regarding Jim's earlier call, I very much share your hope that we can pull out as soon as possible. But I was thinking, you know, short of that, you know, I share some of Jim's concerns. I don't want to see another, you know, type of massacre like we saw when Saddam got some helicopters back and he went after the people who were uprising. And I do think there are a lot of very talented people in the military.
Oh, I agree.
who I think if they were given the right type of support, you know, not so much bullets and more armor, but instead, oh, I don't know, toolkits and, you know, things to purify water systems, they could lend a lot of assistance in that regard. I also think I'd like to see some troops remain there for a while to clean up the depleted uranium ordnance, which has created a lot of toxic dumps in that country and is killing a lot of people.
I agree with everything you've said, Preston. My biggest concern, however, is that if there's a U.S. military uniform involved, not going to fly. Now, one of the problems, you know, I think you've just shed light on one of the fundamental problems we have, and that is we have an administration that openly despises the United Nations.
Yep.
The United Nations is going to have to be a party to the process of the reconstruction of Iraq.
Yes, that's true. In fact, we have this, a part of our culture and a part of our military culture despises the United Nations. There's this book, this whole Left Behind series, where the Antichrist
yes.
is actually the head of the UN, a peacemaker. I mean, it's just a demented imperial theology that Tim LaHaye has cooked up. And it's been providing a narrative for some, not all, but a chunk of the soldiers. And, that needs to be challenged. And that's the sort of thing we can do here at home. We can speak to other people. We can speak to people in the military, you know, share some alternative views of, you know, what the UN role could be and what Islam is about. I mean, the way the religious bigotry that's been directed towards Islam, I think, really contributes to the violence that goes on over there, this dehumanizing of those people. You know, we say we're so concerned about them and we want to free them and protect them and do all these wonderful things for democracy, but we go in there with these incredibly bigoted attitudes towards their faith. And I think, you know, again, we can do a lot of work here regarding changing attitudes. In fact, there are projects like Books for Soldiers and AnySoldier.com where normal, you know, progressive American citizens can send directly to the troops in Iraq and in Afghanistan, to the U.S. troops. We can send them media material, CDs, DVDs, books of all sorts. Some of the soldiers are open to stuff like that, radical material.
Mm-hmm.
Others are not. You have to kind of just send it out there and or read the boards. The soldiers will write about what they want. It's sad to see how many people do want the Left Behind books and they want these violent video games or Sean Hannity books.
Oh, yeah.
But every now and again, there will be soldiers who will want material related to African-American interests or Buddhism.
And the websites again, Preston, please?
One is booksforsoldiers.org. Or if you just Google Books for Soldiers, you'll get there. And also the other one is AnySoldier.com. And you'll also realize how many people are trying to do things like help out in orphanages or at schools and that kind of thing. And sometimes they request, you know, food and clothing for kids. So who knows?
Yeah, and you know, Preston, when I talk about what's going on over there, this I don't mean it as a blanket indictment of the soldiery.
Yeah, I don't hear that from you either. I don't feel that. I don't get that impression from you at all. And I share your concern. You know, the military, for the most part, is there to break things, and, you know, it's causing a lot of damage, and we do need to leave. But hopefully we can do some work to change the relationship, and maybe in the future it'll be like the Vietnam vets are with Vietnam.
Yeah, maybe one of the things we need, you know, if we can learn some lessons, maybe one of the things that we need to learn out of this is that we need, and I don't even know what kind of vocabulary you would use for it, Preston. We need a military, what, a non-military military, or a military that is geared toward reconstruction, or a yeah. military that is geared toward real peacekeeping.
A Department of Peace.
Yeah.
Kucinich is absolutely right.
God bless him.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So let's keep advocating for that. You know, that's the vision. And, you know, we're taking some steps in that direction. You know, there's been a lot of resistance to this war. We haven't been able to stop it, but there have been a lot of protests. And even in Iraq, a lot of the resistance has taken the form of street protests. They have some very courageous labor activists
yes.
and women feminist activists. And so democracy can happen there, too. But, you know, we need to work on it here as well. And I think just
Preston, I don't. That's the thing about democracy. Yeah, God, it would be wonderful if it organically grew there. It has a chance to organically grow there.
Yeah.
But as long as the word democracy is associated with the word American,
yeah,
it doesn't have a prayer.
Yeah, it needs to be their own version of it. And it's interesting to see how South America has been developing their own versions of it. I mean, in one country, Venezuela, they've elected a socialist, and in another country, in Bolivia, they've elected an indigenous person.
Yes.
In Chile, they elected a single mom, an atheist, who's a socialist, who was tortured by the Pinochet regime.
Right.
I think they're providing some incredible examples of democracy being on the march here and there in the world.
And the sad thing is, for all of our talk, or not our talk, but the administration's talk, I mean, I loathe the executive branch of this government right now. It makes my guts hurt. For all our talk about democracy and, you know, how important it is to the world, well, they're doing democracy in South America.
Yep.
And, in fact, they're doing democracy in some parts of Southeast Asia. And God knows the biggest democracy on the planet is India.
Yep.
And we feel like we've got some right to define it for everyone else. I mean, good God, it's Greek.
Yep.
It's not American.
Exactly. Well put. And one last comment, one last resource I'd like to make.
Sure.
There's a group called Global Exchange. Medea Benjamin worked for it, but globalexchange.org. And they do things like take people on trips around the world, including they go to Iraq and they talk to grassroots organizers on the ground. I don't know if they've gone in the past year, but they have gone since the beginning of the war. And they also go to Venezuela, and they go to Mexico, and discover what sorts of grassroots work is going on out there in the world. So if people are getting down by the power of this corporate leviathan and the Bush regime, all that stuff going on, I think it's important to find those places where democracy is happening and finding ways that we can contribute to it.
Well,
and I think your show very much does that as well.
Thank you very much, Preston. And I got to tell you, when you just described Global Exchange, Agnes and I were looking at each other, and with that little, you know, 13 years of marriage will do it to you kind of thing. Where wonder if they got broadband in Caracas? You know,
they do. You bet they do. In fact, I was in Peru just a few months ago, and there's all these in Lima and other cities. They've got these internet cafes and people are doing, you know, they're having fun with it and chatting with their friends, but they're also doing some incredible organizing. You see these indigenous people with laptops walking around sometimes. And
that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep. Yep. You bet.
Well, Preston, thank you so much. I hope we'll hear from you again. Don't be such a stranger, okay?
I will definitely keep in touch, Bob. You bet.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye now. And onward to Gene calling from Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I know the clock's ticking, so I won't stay long. But I had to kind of call you on something you said about Islam.
Okay.
Now, as I understand it, the Prophet Muhammad, when he went ahead and, you know, went on to his great reward, he really didn't set up a succession. And
well, yeah, that's right. There were issues of succession, but I don't think that. And again, maybe I'm guessing. I don't think that precludes his expression of a preference for a hereditary caliphate.
Well, maybe, but as I understood it, the Shia went ahead and they said, okay, we'll pick his nephew. And
right.
And then the Sunni said, no, we're going to pick somebody else.
So, yeah, this is the part from Life of Brian where they're yelling, follow the shoe.
Yeah.
No, follow the you get the idea.
So I didn't, the way I had read it, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it is hereditary. I just didn't see it that way.
Well, I think it's expressed. I mean, I've seen some of the writings about it.
Okay.
The big infight inside Islam was who had the better pedigree, if you will.
Yeah. Well, that was the. That was, you know, sorry to be a nitpicker. I just,
No. Pick away. I do not have soul license on facts or truth. We're all just trying to fight our way through the darkness on all this, Gene.
One other quick thing I had to say about Jim and who would rebuild Iraq. I would actually see Europe take a pretty strong role because, after all, Turkey is due to get into the European Union there pretty soon.
Yeah, that's very true.
They wouldn't want something like that on their eastern border.
Yeah, southeastern flank.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they'd probably go ahead and chip something into that. Anyway, I'll send you more email and have fun.
I really do appreciate it, Gene. You have a great evening and a wonderful weekend, all right?
You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Everybody else who's online, see, I sit there and I say, I mean, the opening says call Bob now, not call Bob at 15 minutes before the show ends.
But we're happy.
We're happy to have the calls, but the show ends and guys, so I'm sorry if you're on hold. I sincerely apologize. Please call back. You're at the front of the line come Monday. My promise.
Or Saturday.
You know, get involved with Joe Vecchio. Get involved in the program at Fourth Estate Radio because, you know, this is the personalities change. The philosophy doesn't. This is conversation radio.
6 days a week.
6 days a week. And on the seventh day, Agnes rested. But this is conversation radio, and we are all committed to it, whether it is me, whether it is Bruce, John, Joe, Agnes, our good friend Guy James. It's about the conversation, and we provide it. Oh, what is, we're doing 40 hours a week now. Take advantage of it. And one last thing, okay? You are never going to hear a host on the Head On Radio Network, if I have anything to do with it, put his hand out and beg for money. Okay? We're liberals. Everybody's got their hand out. We're not going to do it. There's a fundraiser going at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's because Ben provides what he provides and has to pay the bills to do it. But for the Head On Radio Network, you're not going to... No. I know of other networks that have fundraisers going on. Please send money. Be an associate. Be a gold member. We're not going to do that. Now, so that having been said, okay, here's the send-up. I don't want your money. I want your help. If you like what you listen to, and there are many of you who tune in every night, if you like what you listen to, if this matters to you, don't send me a $10 bill. Tell 10 friends about the horn. Because you are on the ground floor of this. You're building it. We've put the stuff in place. It's your conversation. And you help build it. If this matters to you, if you go around to blogs, tell people that this is here. Tell people in the anti-war community that there is somewhere that is actively involved in calling for the immediate withdrawal of all American troops from Iraq. Because I've read a lot on the internets lately, and there is a significant amount of unease out there at the fact that certain people who call themselves liberals to this day have not called for the withdrawal of American troops from Iraq. That is the stated policy of the Head On Radio Network. All American troops must withdraw from Iraq.